Welcome to the debug log number 8. This episode is all about the asset store, or better yet, our top 5 picks for the asset store. Now, if you're just getting started and you don't know what the asset store is, it's basically a marketplace built into Unity, which allows developers to share models, assets, plugins, scripts, tools, you name it. If it's going to help you with your game, they probably have it in that store. We'll go into that. And what each of us did is we picked our favorite asset from the store, and we all discuss it, and we go around the table, and it's a lot of fun. Also, at the end of the episode, we carve out a little bit of time to talk about the projects we're currently working on now, both at work and at home. It's something I want to do going forward. Maybe it's a whole episode going forward. Maybe it's just stuff we talk about in the Facebook group. I don't know. I think it's fun that we give you a little insight, and you guys can share what you're working on, too. Anyway, the intro is going long. I'll get to it. So without further ado, this is the Debug Log, Episode 8, The Ocho.
All right, you want to do it again?
We can't say anything.
You're listening.
In the left ring, we have...
Hey, give me a Max Headroom type of thing. You're listening.
Batman?
Get over here.
You're listening.
Okay.
Scary. That scared me.
How much have we had to drink tonight?
You're listening to the Debug Log, a podcast about Unity game development. My name's Andrew Curry.
I'm Obino Parra.
I'm Zach Schneider.
I'm Ryan Kilgore.
And I'm Eduardo Castillo Fernandez.
So thank you for all the overwhelming support that we've gotten for the Debug Log. We want to just thank you guys for the reviews you guys written for iTunes and say that, you know, the reason that we're laughing is because this is like... test number 5 of this episode, and I just keep messing up. Anyway, I do want to say thank you for the overwhelming reviews that you guys have written on iTunes, and we want to keep that, you know, the good vibes flowing and just keep writing those reviews because they really, really help us out. Like I said, with the reach that we get able to do and the content that we're able to deliver, that support is helping us, you know, garner more and more loggers and TDLers to join the clan,
loggers,
if we will.
Is that the new loggerheads?
Yeah. Those are turtles, aren't they?
Well, no, they're fans of the show. That's what they are.
Exactly.
Shouldn't it be something like a
don't
duck?
Don't be silly, or... Ryan.
Okay.
Yeah, don't be
so
silly.
So anyway, just keep the good vibes flowing and keep writing reviews because they really, really help us out with our reach, especially on the, you know, iTunes store. And if you, like Andrew said in the last episode, if you don't have an iTunes account, don't have the iTunes application on your machine, it doesn't matter. Just download it and write us a quick review.
Then
of course, we're looking... Yeah, and then delete the application. So, but again, yeah, those reviews definitely help us, and we want to continue to give you guys great content. So, anyway, without further ado, let's hop back into the episode.
Oh, God. That was a long intro. So, today, what? Today is a different type of show. It's something that we actually haven't ever done. We've talked before about since the beginning of the show, we talked about, hey, we want feedback. We want people from the community to pitch in and get involved. And we've done a couple of different initiatives to start that. We have the Facebook page and we also have the Facebook group now. And this morning, Eduardo actually posted a question about like to try to actually get questions from the community because we want to start putting a question segment at the end of each episode where we say we're going to answer a question of the week, like probably just one, maybe two. I don't know. It just depends how many we get. If it gets to be a lot, it'll be a whole segment of mailbag questions, whatever. Anyways, one of the first and best questions we got today was a question from one of our first members of our Debug Lounge, our Facebook group, and Christian Strang. And he asked us a question about the asset store. And this is the asset store is something that we've been meaning to talk about. Is on our original topic list at the beginning when we started listing all of the shows we wanted to do. And his question is basically said, hey guys, just curious, what are your 3 most essential Unity asset store assets, paid or free? And instead of that question actually can be kind of subjective because other people might, you know, he even mentions it in his question that can be subjective bit depending on what type of game you're making. But we thought the best way to tackle that question for a whole episode would be to, we each picked one of the ones we use the most. And so that gives you a top 5 of the Debug Log, essentially. And then we're going to go over just some of the type for the people that don't know the asset stores. We're going to talk about that and go over the types of things you can get there. And then some of the common things that we know of that we don't have much experience with, but we know other people are using that are really popular. So before we get started and before we dig into our favorite picks, we'll go over just what the asset store is.
Yeah. And guys, for many of you, this is very basic, but there are a bunch of beginners that don't even know what the asset store is. So please be patient. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yes. Yeah. I think maybe Eduardo, can you explain what the asset store is? Because, you know, with the virtual reality question, you were able to answer that with like a textbook answer. So
yeah, you get the best, you get the best solid answers. Yeah. We're just the jesters in this court. Exactly. You're the king.
Okay, I will do my best. So the asset store is a website made by Unity where you can buy 3D models, scripts, projects, music, all type of content for your game. And not only buy, but you can also download it for free. You can just download it and it will open the Unity editor. So yeah, it's basically a website where you can download content for your game.
So yeah, you mentioned a website, but you know, it's also, like you said, opens up in the editor, and that's something you can open up. It's another window that's available through the editor. And right, like you said, it's a repository of assets, you know, music assets, art assets, even like scripting assets that you can download and import into your game immediately. Without even having to, you know, you don't have to go to the website. You don't have to go to Unity website. You can just open that up as you're working on your game and say, okay, I want, actually we talked about this a little bit briefly in our getting started episode. And he's like, you know, I need robots, you know, and you could just search for that in your asset store bundle and then import those assets into your game directly and then start using them.
To open the asset store, you just go to the window tab in your menu bar. And you'll go down to Asset Store and just click that, and it'll open up a little window inside of Unity. And you can actually redock that along with all your other docked, like your inspector and things, so you don't lose it.
And it's kind of crazy, too, because I think I remember a time before the Asset Store. When did it start? Because they don't have, I mean, this is something we actually can't look up, I mean, really. But I remember, maybe we could, I don't know, I'm dumb. But like, I think it was, I vaguely remember if it wasn't started, it was actually just had a few assets at the time and it wasn't that useful. But now it's crazy because you just have no idea. You have no idea of all the different types of assets they have, because they have anything you could possibly imagine. They have stuff from 3D models to animation to applications to shaders to whole projects, really. I know Unity the beginning actually has a few projects they put in there, and that now they have more and more people putting whole, like, here's a space shooter project or here's a racing game project where you can bring that in and grab the assets and then, you know, reconfigure it, remix it to make your own game. But I know one tiny story example is that before Zach and I knew each other, to work at the where we work now, I actually made a demo of this little kind of this game called Stay Frosty. And it was like a Space Invaders, a twist on that with a snowman and ice monsters. And I was looking for a quick asset that I needed. I made like a snowman with actually just like primitives and Unity and put snow textures. And I grabbed like snow stuff from the asset store and all these other things that are really cool. And I was like, I need a monster. And then like found like the best free. It was like, I think called Ice Golem. Isn't that what it is, Zach?
Yeah, it's the Ice Golem.
Interesting. Yeah, so you know what's funny is that's the project that Andrew applied to our job with. And I was like,
yeah,
so you made this whole game using the asset store? Are you cheater?
you make fun of him, but that's how I got through school, man.
Yeah. We're not all three. But that's the whole point. It's like that we're not 3D modelers. We're not, you know, we don't make shader packs. We don't do all these other things. But I made that demo in an afternoon. And it was impressive enough to go, oh, cool, this is what you can do. And you can make things like that that actually get you a job or get you onto some project. And to complete the story, I started work. And about 3 months later, Zach came in just to talk to us. And he had a school project to show us, this big, cool, like, third-person shooter sci-fi thing to show us. and I'm playing the game. I'm like, this is pretty neat. I like this. This is really elaborate. And then I see this monster coming at me. I was like, oh, you old friend. I was like, yeah, I was like, I remember you. It's like, you got this from the thing. You're like, yep, I got it for free. I'm like, so no, it can be a common thing. Yeah. So there's neat stuff, and it really helps when you need something just to get a prototype going. There's a lot of free stuff out there. Don't think that it's all, even if you go to the website, they're pushing all the, you know, the paid stuff and the best selling stuff, but there's a lot of good free assets in there that can just get you going.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's basically asset store in a bundle, you know, in a bundle.
In a quick in a nutshell.
Yeah, in a nutshell, in a bundle. But let's go through like one. We all picked one of our favorite assets that we use or that we like to use or have used in the past, you know, the most. So let's just start going around the table and see what everybody picked. Starting with Eduardo.
Again?
What is your... No, your asset. Oh,
yeah. I was only supposed to talk once on this show.
Yes. I had that.
That's my job.
No, I'm just kidding. my favorite and then he asset in like the asset store is the Unity Test Tools. Like, you know, I love to test my applications.
They
would be. So Unity Test Tools is a plugin for Unity that allows you to, among other things, add NGUI to your Unity project, and it creates a new window in your editor where you can see all the tests that you have for your scripts and run them, and it will tell you whether your functions are returning a bad value or if they're working fine, if there was an exception. And this is really useful to do it since the very beginning, because while you're developing, you can run this and you will check all previous functions. So it's not like you have to go back and test everything by hand. It will do it for you in less than a second. So that keeps your application consistent, and you can keep developing with confidence because you know that the rest of your application is still right. So that's my favorite asset in the asset store.
Very cool.
Cool.
I haven't used the testing tools too much. I've made some basic unit tests with that. But can you explain a little bit more, like how do you use it, the testing tools, like, I guess for your project, other than I know it does unit tests, but what else can the, you know, those testing tools that suite do?
In the description in the asset store, it has two other, features like, integration test framework that says that you can test your game objects. I haven't used that feature, so I don't want to say something that is not true. And the other one is a search and components that I haven't used either. So from my point of view, just the fact that it has NGUI for your project is enough.
I got you.
Yeah. That makes sense. To answer your question, how people can use it, it's really easy. You just have to download the package in the asset store. Just import everything. It has examples that you can just literally run the application, and you will see the tests without even adding anything to your any new game object or script or anything. If you go to the windows, you will see a new window called Unit Tests. Those are all the tests that you have to create. And they have a script called Sample Tests, where you see the structure of an NGUI file, where you just define a test with with the notation just text feature or test at the top of every method inside a class.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's cool.
Okay.
So I guess on the topic of, it seems like we're doing like some utility scripts. I think my next asset from the asset store that I really love to use is also a utility script. And that's with Perforce. It's called P4 Connect, and it's like a Perforce integration plugin. And Perforce, for those who you never heard of it or haven't used it, is it's a version control system. And that's version control is, and this is going to be another episode in and of itself about version control, but it's managing your project essentially and keeping versions of your project. So, you know, you can always keep track of what happened in, you know, this commit, or, you know, you just keep track of your project without losing it. Or if something were to happen, you could always roll back to it. Anyway, that's version control in 3 seconds. So Perforce is this version control system, and they created this plugin called P4 Connect that you can get off the asset store for free and import in your project. And what it does is, for those who've used version control systems, you know, you have to, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain without getting a little too detailed. Is like, you can check out files, you can lock files.
I'm not scared of detail, Amina.
Yeah, I'm not scared of detail. So you can check out files, and that basically says, okay, I'm working on this file, so everyone knows I'm working on this file. And then you could lock files, and there's like a locking and unlocking of files. And that's saying, you know, I'm working on this scene, especially with scenes in Unity. You kind of want to avoid multiple people messing around in the scene at the same time. So it's good and helpful to always be able to lock a file and say, okay, no one can touch this file. So anyway, what this plugin does is it makes that process, you know, seamless, and it's integrated in your Unity editor. So if you just double click on a C# file or a JavaScript file or Boost script file, you're able to, you know, check out that file and say, okay, I'm going to be working on this file without having to go through Perforce's, you know, client application, which is called P4, P4V, I think. So it eliminates a lot of these steps that you have to take as far as checking out files, locking files, you know, saving files, editing files, all those, you know, that minutia of version control that you don't have to think about. So it handles all that for you. Even like it allows you to do in editor commits. So you can write commit messages and then submit and commit a change set to your version control system without even having to think about it. So that it's really, really helpful and speeds up your process, development process, while keeping your project all versioned. So that's definitely my favorite. It's a little lame. It's not testing tools.
Those are pretty nerdy.
Yeah, those picks, are guys. Pretty nerdy picks. Oh,
man. But it's useful, though. It's really useful.
Yes. We're all nerds here. I'm just kidding.
Guys, just to clarify, if I said that Unity Test Tools added NGUI to the project, it's not NGUI, it's NUnit, just in case.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, NUnit for testing tools.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
All right, but it's a great segue into mine, which is NGUI. Not like one of the more, I guess it's still useful, but it's not this, quite as
well. This used to be the king of the asset store. It was always the top.
So
seller.
True.
Yeah, now I mean, if you actually search it right now, I mean, it's you know, it had about, looks like over 2,700 reviews. There's a bunch of other projects on the asset store that actually built off of it to create other tools. But yeah, back in the day when Unity's UI, let's admit, wasn't up to snuff, it was really pretty bad, to be honest. This was what kind of saved a lot of people some time. You know, it, because remember the old UI had a lot of things like, you know, you'd have to sort of never, wasn't ever really WYSIWYG, like what you see is what you get. You're always sort of in code trying to tweak things and push them around. Like all the functionality worked off of polling rather than say like an event system. That's where NGUI stepped in and kind of like helped you out with a lot of those type of things. You got a WYSIWYG editor, you got actually event systems for button presses, you know, just things like, you know, patterns and data structures and ways of doing things you were, you know, that were just more intuitive and you were more familiar with, I felt. It was also like, it was like you could visualize it in the hierarchy and sort of see how all your components were put together and related to each other. But yeah, it's not, you know, and I believe actually that the new UI Unity has is like based a lot off of the NGUI system. So yeah, not quite as used as much anymore, but definitely a super useful tool in its heyday.
Yeah.
Oh, because we talked about the UI episode because they hired that guy, right? And then
they
changed it.
Yeah.
And then I think they kind of backed away from the one that he was building with them or something, but it's because it was a good system.
Yeah. It still smacks of it though, you know, as you can kind of see it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still games coming out now that were started development before the new UI system came out that will come out, like that Firewatch game you give me shit for liking and wanting to play. That there, I know for a fact they're using the NGUI because they have a dev blog about it. So that's, I mean, so it's still, and it's still viable. I mean, some,
oh, if you prefer,
they're still being supported. So if you prefer that to the new one, go ahead, use it. I mean, I think most people would just prefer free. So
definitely. I mean, it says it's only in about, I mean, $95 right now, but totally
I'm
worth
surprised
it.
They haven't gone down yet.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's still a robust solution. So, I mean, I wouldn't alter my price point just for that, you know?
And that's, and that's by that to Sharon Company, who also makes TNet, which is going to be Zach's pick.
But I'm dumb. By far, it will not be.
Oh, TNet's good. It just
has. Good is a too generous of a term.
TNet is not Zach's pick, I don't think.
Yeah.
it's a different network.
We just lost all of our to Sharon listeners.
Oh, no.
No, it did the job. It's done the job of the time. But the honest truth is we have problems with all networking libraries, even Unity's.
That's very true.
Networking is just hard. We even had one of our members of our debug lounge actually talk about that this week, where it's like, he mentioned, he's like, oh, I want to share my passion for the group and you know, passion with Unity. He's one of your old friends, Ryan. But he said, he's like mentioned that I have experience with Unity, you know, local networking. It's Robert mm-hmm. Plant. With
oh, right. Yeah.
Not the Led Zeppelin singer, the developer, but he actually, because he said with local networking, which is like a beast. So it's like, yeah, I think everybody has a problem with it.
Oh, and networking is tough in general, but yeah, that just, yeah. Yeah. Well, what you said.
Yeah, and guys, we're going to make an episode about that. Don't worry.
Yes.
Yeah, we got a lot of, and this is a general, real quick aside, before you go, Zach. We're going to hit all of these bigger topics, because now we're trying to do a survey and really get, because I mean, we're trying to get people that don't have a lot of experience, but also just doing a grand survey of the stuff that's available in Unity and the solutions that are out there. But just rest assured, we're going to hit and start diving deep into just singular libraries and singular things for episodes, you know,
yeah.
And kind of really, and maybe, the reason why, what I'd like to do is get, if it's for like a particular library or particular plugin, I'd like to get the developers of that plugin on and talk about best practices and stuff. So we really want to make sure we get, you know, the right data for you by the time we do that. And now we're just trying to, we're doing a wide swath across the Unity, you know, the Unity development community is really big. So we're trying to just like, you know, cover it first and then dive deeper in later on. So yeah, sure. Like you said, we'll do a networking, we'll do version control, all that stuff. But go ahead, Zach.
All right. Well, my pick from the asset store is AVI Player. And basically it facilitates playing movies on mobile devices. I had a project that I was working on a little while ago that required is a VR project, and it required me to play a movie on a plane outside a window on a 4S, an iPhone 4S, with two cameras. And Unity's
like the plane's in the game, though. It sounds like you're just playing it on the plane.
Yeah, right.
When you said yeah, like the environment's in the plane. Yeah.
Yeah. So Unity's video texture or movie texture doesn't support iOS, or is not supported on iOS. So I had to find a movie texture player that would work on all the platforms, so including Android. And I think I tried almost everyone out in the
Zach's like an expert in this. He tried like all 8 of them that are out there.
Yeah, I remember that. We almost even tried Unreal Engine.
Yeah, yeah, wow, we almost switched.
No, cut that. No, we're not doing it.
But we didn't, because we found AVI Player. And AVI Player basically takes your, I think it's MJPEG, or I think it's, what does it support? It's MJPEG AVI, and
MPEG.
Right, MPEG, yeah. But not, there's one that it does not support.
Not MPEG.
Right, not MPEG. So it takes that and you put it through something called FFmpeg, and it basically converts it. And this is all included inside the Unity package that you get, and you just install it in your root, your user root directory, and you can go into Unity into one of the the sub menus up at the top, and you can actually convert the files in editor. So you don't have to go through another third party video editing software. You can just take the clip you want and then go say convert and put it in your streaming assets folder, and it will just load it onto your plane and play it full screen or just on a specific object in your scene. And it handles everything very well. I was using two cameras loading, I think it was 7 or 8 different movies that were close to 5 minutes long. And I was able to switch between those. And with the help of a little bit of shader coding, I was able to actually fade in between those videos rather gracefully. But that's $45 in the asset store, and it's called AVI Player. And I think their newest update allows for Playmaker actions. So you can actually set up all that logic visually in their Playmaker.
Cool. Very cool. I think what they did, I mean, we'd have to talk to those guys, but since, I mean, even the Unity one's kind of weird, and they take whatever the format they take, and then we tried the other ones. I think what they did, because this was the only one that had that, I mean, the FFmpeg is like an open source video codec converter, yeah. So they just included it with the package, but I think they just found the really weird, obscure settings that you can set something to, and particular to their player that plays across all, you know, it's like, because it has to be that exact format with those exact settings, but then it works across everything. And it has seeking and everything too. So very smart.
Very, very smart. In fact, I don't think any of the other ones we had, I mean, the closest one was, I can't remember the name of it, but basically it took a whole series of textures, single image textures, and put them in a row and made those into a movie. Right. And that was the closest we could get to
that was performance. The only.
And it was a memory hog. So obviously it crashed the 4S, or else we would have kept using it. But, this is definitely our saving grace in that project.
And it's the only one that has like great seeking, you know, like that's like one of the biggest issues we knew was like, we just want to seek to a spot in the video. How hard right. is
and
this?
Why and it's
is
also that? 720p with like 30 frames per second. It's just amazing.
Right. Very cool. Very cool.
Very, all right. Very cool.
I'll round it out with my, one of my, my pick for this. This is the one I use in every project. It's actually the first thing that I import into every project. And it's a little animation library called GoKit. It's by a company or just group called Prime 31. They have a lot of plugins, some free, some paid. Like they have a lot of in-app purchase things for Android, iOS, and all these different, they have a lot of stuff. I mean, so much on their website that I don't understand the different things they have. But I came across this GoKit on GitHub. It wasn't even the asset store, but it is in the asset store. But it's a basic sorry, brain fart. They actually, I was thinking while I was talking, you can't do that. But so it's basically an animation library, but it's basically awesome for UI stuff. And that's what I'm a UI nerd, so I like to use it for UI things. And there's a competitor that people might have heard more of. It's called iTween. And I've tried iTween, and iTween's pretty good. And Zach's used iTween too before. And I just, GoKit is actually pretty minimal, a lot more simpler, and a lot more lightweight. And especially for mobile, and I love it. And it's basically just an animation library. So you programmatically, you can set animations like a to animation, I want to transform this object, the local position to this, coordinates to this coordinates. And they also have easing library set in. Like built in where you have a bounce, you want to have elastic, you want to have a linear, you want to have a bicubic, you want a quadratic, linear ease, all that stuff is built into it. And it's pretty basic. They have a lot of, just like any good animation library, they have a queuing system so you can run animations in parallel, you can set up a batch of them, or you can set up
a chain,
So you just set up a chain. Whatever. Right. And so it's very simple, and it's never given me trouble. I don't know if Vina's had a little experience with it too.
I've had no troubles. It's one of my favorite animation libraries too. I've tried iTween as well, but I just fell in love with GoKit and what it allows you to do. Even like the shake animation, like you said, the linear and all those other functions they have like shake animations that are built in that you don't have to even think about. And you just say, hey, GoKit.tween or something, or dot shake, and then it does everything you want it to do. So
powerful. You can play them in series. That's something actually I had issues with iTween. Cause I think iTween has like a on complete callback, but you still have to have your next iTween in another method for it.
Oh, you're saying
that.
You're manually setting it up?
Right. Okay. So it sounds like with GoKit, you don't have to do that. You can just change one of the variables.
You set up a queue and you say, add one. Now
exactly.
Run them all.
Exactly. And you could even put delays between each one. So like, you know, I want to wait 2 seconds after this shake animation, then I want to tween it to the left in 1 second. So it's really robust in what it allows you to do. So yeah,
and that's what you do. Yeah, and that's what you do too if you're running them in parallel. Because you do the queue or you do it in parallel batch, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's where you'd set up all those little delays. Like when you have like, for instance, like detailed version of that, when I have like UI elements coming in where you have like score and then you have a prompt at the bottom and then other choices come in. The kind of sexy thing is to have them all come in like parallaxy in different times, you know, like all swing in all.
Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah.
That was so that's sexy. What,
yeah. I didn't do that noise. That wasn't my noise.
What do you want? Like bounce a kebab boy?
Yes, that's sexy. Exactly. Pew, pew, pew.
That was a kid toy.
Hello, ladies. Pew, pew, pew.
But it's really cool for all you, Novena knows what I'm talking about, all you action script developers out there. It's basically what TweenLight, GreenSock, a company called GreenSock has a lot of libraries called TweenLight and TweenMax, which are basically the same thing for ActionScript and Flash libraries because the native Flash ones suck, as most native Flash things do. And I've used TweenLight forever and just little Flash demos I made. And so it's basically, if you have any experience in ActionScript development, it's basically that kind of ported over to Unity. The commands are very similar just in C#. So yeah. GoKit by Prime 31, you can get on the Asset Store. You can like download the source on GitHub. It's all open source. I'll put links there in the show notes.
That's really nice.
Excellent.
You should have told me that before I used iTwin. Thank you, guys.
I didn't know you were using iTwin.
In fact, I'm using iTwin for a small project that we're working on for rotating a turret to an enemy target. And
before
I think I might have to go back.
One of our courses, yeah, you can see
exactly. Yeah, and I think I might go back and actually change it to GoKit now because
iTwin's neat. Manager.
Yeah, there, cha-ching, I did
cha-ching.
It. I'm a GoKit evangelist. Mark from last week. Yeah, and iTwin's great too. iTwin has some kind of weirder, like they have some functions like built in that are like macros, like follow and stuff, or like flocking behavior stuff built in. I just always found some of that stuff to be a little janky on mobile, especially on other stuff like that.
You say that, but like the issue I have with iTwin is basically say I need to rotate to 270 degrees. It wants to rotate always going to the right instead of going left. So before I actually call that iTwin, I have to check whether the target's on the left or on the right in order for me to know whether I need to subtract or do a subtract for the angle or add the amount of difference to the angle, and then right. Do the iTween. So it's kind of like, eh.
And just an FYI, just in case people are wondering, you know, you can use these tweening libraries or animation libraries to pretty much tween and move anything you want, especially with GoTo. I know you can like tween the alpha channels or tween colors or you know, transform positions, you know, scale. You could tween pretty much everything on an object, which is nice. It allows you to actually set, you know, the floats or set values or set object or, you know, values in that object or transform game object.
It's a lerp on steroids.
Well, yeah. And like, I mean, we talked about before, Ryan's mentioned before that you can use Unity's built in systems for some of these things too. Like you can make normal animations, do all these exact same things. It just comes down to a matter of preference. Like if you want to keep the animation as a asset, you know, and a thing in your library, like, hey, I want to use that on that thing and that, because, you know, like you would in the animation editor and do the curves and all that stuff, or if you're more visual, that might better. I just feel more comfortable programmatically setting animations.
Well,
so that's why
not
I like
only
GoKit.
Preference, but also on knowledge. There are people that don't know how to code. So for them, Mechanim would be a lot better.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, and it's
GoKit
also
might not be great for them.
Based on like the use case, for instance, I have to rotate to something dynamically. Then I want to use iTwin. But if I want to rotate to a certain position, that's going to be the same every time, then I can use the Unity animations.
Yeah. Cool. Excellent. So do those. Those are five excellent premium picks from the debug log team.
Primo picks.
Premium picks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what, just real quick before we wrap this up, do you guys know, I mean, those are the ones we like the most and the ones we've really had the most experience with. I know there's a lot of other ones out there, like for instance, Playmaker. Does anybody want to talk about Playmaker? That's a big one that I know that could help a lot of people that don't have a lot of experience coding.
And IK is another really popular one that we're actually using that in my personal project. I'm sorry to go away from Playmaker, but yeah.
What you're saying.
Yeah. Detour.
I just had a quick story. It's not even a good story, but that's something that we're using in our.
Anyways,
I'm just saying, Final Cut.
Let's see how many times we can interrupt Obina.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm gonna act like Zach. I'm done. You know, Zach gets all pissy. No, I'm really done. I have nothing else to say.
No. Well, Zach, keep going.
All right. If we're all going to are you going to keep going or not? Or else I'm going to throw out an honorable mention as well.
So. Go ahead.
Texture Packer, actually.
Oh.
Yes. Like that Texture Packer importer and like that whole program outside of even Unity, great way to pack to pack sprites into a texture file and make atlases as well as make 2D animations. It's a fantastic little tool. We use it on the aquarium project, make it out of these little fishies animate, but it's a great tool, and the importer is free. Texture Packer itself, though, may cost you a little money. I think it was maybe like $30. It's not very expensive, but yeah, it's totally worth it. So
I wonder, you could use that sprite sheet generated from Texture Packer in like a NGUI Atlas, could you? I'm asking.
Yes. Yes.
That's what it's made. Well, yeah. Yes.
Cool. It even works with like the 2D animation systems and you know the new 2D animation systems Unity 5 and things like that. So it's a pretty sexy little package.
And it'll handle real quick. It'll handle it'll handle all the different resolutions that you need for different mobile devices. So you say I wanted a 2x or 3x retina or whatever or the lower, and it'll automatically go and it'll export all of those.
It'll do what again?
Different magic platforms.
Yeah.
It'll go blah, 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 blah.
One more, as we previously mentioned, it's the Ice Golem. I mean, I know it's kind of simple, but it's a pretty good.
It's an icon at this point. It's a classic.
Exactly. It's gotten two jobs already.
It's got that great death animation where it throws its hands in the air and just falls over.
Just falls backwards.
Like sped up. Like,
and my little demo, my Stay Frosty demo, because it was snow, I had it just doing that and just sinking into the snow and it worked and then just disappearing after that. I was like, oh, that works. They sink.
It's nice. I think it's called Maze Element Ice Golem. And I think they have another one that's like a fire creature. It's kind of weird, but that one also comes with a bunch of skins. But they both come. I think they have 9 animations or something like that. So,
yeah, Team Ice all the way.
Yeah, Team Ice, Iceman, do it.
Iceman.
You have any other Eduardo you've heard of?
Not plugins or anything like that. It's just what I would recommend to download from the asset store also is all the Unity projects for tutorials. Yeah, that's very useful for people that are starting to learn Unity, because it gives you the structure that they follow and how they implement their project. So
especially the standard. Actually, most recently they released that blacksmith demo. It's a good way to see how they're using that. What's that shader called? Was it the proper name?
Physical base shader.
Physical base shader. Yeah. And how they're using that in that environment. So that's a really good asset to pick up.
It just really shows you how well the engine's new lighting system and everything is working. It shows you the not necessarily the limitations, but the abilities of the Unity engine now.
Yeah, it's really impressive. I saw that in the Unity Roadshow.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, that's good. That's a basic overview of the asset store and some of our favorites and some of the ones you should check out. Oh, you didn't actually go over yours, but whatever. We'll keep moving.
Wait, what?
You totally did.
My Perforce one?
No, your other one that you started mentioning.
Oh, my Final IK. Yeah, it's fine. The story's dead. You guys killed it.
We'll tell that story on the debug lounge, the private Facebook group. Yeah. You need to join us, sign up with the newsletter, The Loop, to get access to that thrilling story that Obina's going
to
tell.
And remind me to tell that story.
So
we will
that was
crush
very cool.
One dream every week and then put it on the
Exactly.
So before we go tonight, before we have a couple of segments to do, before the first of our fun segments is the special time. Ryan?
Game of the week!
I think that should be the permanent falsetto for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I will extract that and add it to my thing.
Awesome.
Cool. Eduardo, come on. This is your game, man. You got to introduce this one.
Oh, yes. The game of the week of this episode is Marble Contest of Champions. I love this game. First of all, it's a fighting game. Of course, I love it. And they have my favorite superheroes from Marble.
Well, that you understood that the two things, exactly. You know, three things that Eduardo loves most in the world. His wife, I'll say that. I'll let you be credit there.
Yeah, exactly. Just in case, she's like, ting!
Yeah, just in case.
Yeah,
because I know she's one of the number one fans of the show. So
she really is.
she went to the Unity meetup with us. So yeah, so we'll say that. But after that is superheroes and fighting games. So this is like the perfect storm.
Yeah, so the game is basically a fighting game where you can select different heroes and win new superheroes while you're winning fights. And you win this gold medal where you can buy new heroes. They have a bar of health and strength. They also have different elements that are stronger or weak against other. And you have to manage all your team. You have like three heroes from where you can select from. And once you selected your hero to fight, you can play a conquest mode, which is basically like five fights. And once you're fighting, it's really simple. You have like tap controls, or you can swipe to the right to attack your opponent from distance. And you have this power that is recharging while you're attacking your opponent. It's a really simple gameplay, but it's really entertaining. And the graphics are really good for a mobile game. You can actually
the
see that your whole superhero, the whole body. So it's really good. I recommend it.
Yes.
Awesome.
I did too. So yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, yeah. It's your first night of Contest Champions. You have to fight. Anyways, moving on, we're going to start a new segment of the show. I don't know what we're calling it. It might not have a name, but we thought it'd be fun every week to just kind of go around the table. It might not even be, you know, have a length. It might be 0 minutes if none of us have anything to talk about, but just to talk about some personal things or think about projects, you know, game development projects that we're working on, or maybe something at work or a problem with Unity, or, you know, discovery or a cool plugin we found. So just, you know, it's a shop talk kind of, you know, segment. So let's do this, guys. What are you working on?
All right, I guess I'll go first.
Somebody, Zach, do it.
I am working on a small project that is networked, and I'm attempting to use the new UNET code, the Unity networking code. And actually, one of the issues that I'm having is the clients like to time out, so they like to disconnect from the server whenever they feel like it. So at first I thought it was just timed. But it seems to be based on calls. So if it's not receiving calls after a while, it'll disconnect. Or if the call takes too long, it'll disconnect. But all of this is on a local network, so it really shouldn't be timing out. And these are the only devices on this local network. So I've been having a little problem with that. But it seems that if I use the Unity Network Manager, their stock network manager, it actually limits the timeouts to probably like once every like 40 minutes or so. So it's a lot better. And that's one of the solutions that I've come up with, as well as checking for, I think it's the actual timeout call from Unity itself. So you actually check for the message from Unity saying it's timed out.
Cool. Yeah. And that's a, I smell a Tips and Scripts video coming once you figure that out.
Yes.
Maybe a whole series on that one.
Yeah, and again, that's a UNet will be, you know, that's a great, that'll be another episode one day too. So once we start, and as you said, like I know you said you liked a lot of stuff, and now a lot of stuff you're running into is just some of the more young issues with, you know, since it's such a new library. Right.
I mean, all the issues are coming out. Developing it, so.
Yeah.
So is this completely different from what they used to have as far as the networking goes?
I haven't looked into this, to be honest. It's new.
Okay. Now, I will mention if you follow their tutorial, I think there's somebody did a tutorial. I'm not sure. I think it's Unity sponsored. But if you follow their tutorial, that one does not time out. It has something to do with, I read today, it has something to do with the advanced settings that I'm using. So I think it's so I can have more than eight clients connected at a time. I think it might have something to do with that, and it broadcasting to more than what I need. But I mean, again, it's a new system.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause networking is always one of the bears of any project. It's just, it's such a volatile thing. And like you said, there's so many settings it could be like, oh, is it a timeout? Is it max clients? Is it, you know, who knows? Or is it just shitty network? Who knows?
Uh-huh. I mean, don't let this scare you away.
80% of the time it's shitty network.
Don't let that scare you away from it. It's actually super verbose and very, very quick. So, like, I mean, I had something up and running within 30 minutes.
I wasn't talking about that system in particular. Right. It was just like a general networking type of comment.
So. Yeah, yeah. And I know I looked into UNet very briefly, but I know they, like Zach said, they have that stock network manager or network message or whatever. But they also have like a more, like you said, more advanced or more robust or I guess low level networking tools that they have or suite scripts that they have that allows you to, you know, you can set your buffer size, you can set, you know,
the network methods and everything. I think is what it's called.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a lot more robust and gets you more lower level to TCP connection. So they offer that stock option where it's like, okay, I just want to get something really quick up and running that's networked. And then they also offer the, you know, I want to get down and dirty with this networking suite and, you know, manage all the data that's coming through and streaming and buffering. So, There's two options that they give you with the new UNet. So that's really cool. And like Andrew said, we definitely need to do a tutorial or series of tutorials about UNet.
Yeah,
or
tips and scripts.
We have to understand it more. Yeah. Jack is working on it for us.
Yeah. That's cool because we've been rolling our own at work. So it'd be interesting to see that. I mean, so I'd like to see what UNet can do too. Maybe next project. Cool. Yeah.
Well, that's a good segue. What are you doing, Ryan?
Right now, we are rewriting a multiplayer server for a mobile game. So, a lot of networking going on there. Just, you know, basically trying to get the entities moving around on screen, the phones communicating to each other. So a little backstory, at NCSoft right now working, well, for as much as I can say, on a mobile multiplayer game. It's a hack and slash kind of like Diablo. So we're going through all sorts of these growing pains with networking, like Zach was saying, as well as, you know, design and prototyping. But it should be really cool. Hopefully be out in the next year or so.
Very cool.
And also you guys are also working on a tower defense game for a course that we might put out.
Oh, yeah.
Right. We'll definitely put it out.
Oh, yeah. That's coming out. Yeah.
It's like one of the. Never mind.
Oh yeah, but actually, I'll just throw out a plug because we are actually hiring engineers, artists, designers right now for this mobile project, and it is all using Unity. So
at NCSoft,
there you go.
Yeah, at NCSoft West out in California.
Hashtag Unity jobs.
Yeah, there you go. we're looking for people. So if you want to move to lovely California and develop mobile games with Unity. NCSoft is looking.
That's good. Nice.
Cool.
Oh, that just decreased my chances. Thank you, Ryan.
You got an inside man.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just kidding.
Anybody? What else? What else are we doing? I do it real quick. I'm starting to actually, because now that I at our work, I'm much more into the design position now, like a game design position. So now I have much more time at home to start working on. And the first thing I'm going to working on projects, and the first thing I'm doing is, and it will also be probably part of our course, but my previous game on XNA that I mentioned before, like that the cave flyer type game. I'm working on one, maybe making it 3D too, because I'm going through Maya LT tutorials because I'm a crazy person. Yes, I like doing that stuff because I have a subscription to Maya LT for $30 a month. And then I also doing that and just going through and trying to port that game to Unity. So that'll be a fun thing. And the good thing about that is that the whole process I'm kind of documenting. So hopefully that'll be a learning experience for everybody else that I can share later in the year.
Awesome. Still awesome.
Yeah. For me, I'm working in my Hangman game. Basically trying to figure out a good way to position the anchors of my UI to make sure that my game looks good in iPhone and iPad. And also,
Eduardo's got a Hangman game. It's going to start exploding across the charts pretty soon.
Yeah, and
that's another one. You're also documenting that, and that's going to be part of probably a tutorial.
Yeah, that's also going to be a tutorial that all of you will be able to download and see the code and everything.
Yeah, cool. Obina, you got anything?
No.
Oh, come on, just
that's fine. You don't have to. Come on.
We're already over an hour.
We didn't mean to scare you, Obina. Come on.
Yeah, this is the thing about the segment. It's just that we might come at the end of this like, no, just working on the same stuff, move along. And this one's a little bit longer than usually they'll be, you know, because everybody doesn't always have to. We're always not going to have stuff new, but we just thought it'd be a cool, you know, experience. I had a lot of experience listening to dev podcasts when I got started, and it's just fun listening to people talk shop and really get into the problems that aren't topic based, you know. So hopefully we'll start doing that. And Obina and I and the whole group talked today about on our Facebook group. It's getting that started every week, have a day where you guys can actually talk about what you're working on and give us updates weekly, like pick a day, probably Wednesdays. And we're coming up with a name
Wednesdays
for that.
Or what's up Wednesdays? Or
no, what up Wednesdays? And you talk about what's up with your current project. And it's not about promoting your project that's out. It's kind of, or maybe it's about promoting, like, you know, going through bug fixes and stuff. But it's not really about promoting because we're all developers. We don't really need to promote to each other. We need to actually shared, you know, knowledge.
Information, yeah.
Right. And share, you know, processes and like kind of these, you know, like, hey guys, I did this and it was really dumb. And like, you know, don't do that. Don't put your game out and don't tell anybody. Whatever it is. So we're gonna start doing that. But Eduardo, how can they get into that super awesome club of the Facebook group?
Yeah. The good way to do that is you go to our website, thedebuglog.com, and just subscribe to our newsletter. And it's not only a good way to access the Debug Lounge, but I also recommend it for all our Facebook followers. Please, guys, do that because, you know, now with the new Facebook algorithm, they show our content, our post, just to 15% of our followers. So maybe we post something that you want to see and you won't see it because the 15% of our followers already saw it. So unless you go specifically to our Facebook page, you won't be able to see it. It won't show up in your news feed. So to make sure that you can see all our posts and tutorials, Unity tips and scripts, go to our website, thedebuglog.com, and subscribe to our newsletter. And you will also get access to the Debug Lounge, where you can interact with all these developers, designer, and do networking, which is always good for developers and spread the word of your game.
Yeah, that's good. It's awesome. We're going to start having fun there every day. We're hopefully to start having theme days, which is going to be fun, I think. And real quick, guys, fantasy football, come on, join the Debug League. We need people. It's like 2 weeks left. We need to get started. We're just going to get other regular non-game developers in there if you guys don't join. So we'd love to have our community join. So get in touch with us. And if you have questions, just ask about it and we'll talk. You know, if you have any, you know, misgivings or trepidations, we'll guide you through it. Obina's really good at that. He can guide people through from, I don't know. Anyways, we want to thank Christian Strang, hope it's Strang maybe, for submitting that question for the asset store. It was really fun. We thought we'd start doing little segments. We saw his question. It was so good. We said, hey, let's do a whole episode about that. So that might happen. Send us a question. We'll start answering them at the end of every episode, or maybe we'll devote a whole hour to you guys.
And then you'll
please do that. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well,
can't promise that, but
sure, Zach.
Among all of us, we will adore you. That's all. That's all. It shouldn't matter.
And probably you just send for this a question week.
Yeah, you can send those.
We're trying to get them to send things in, guys.
Oh yeah, that's true. My bad.
Send them to thedebuglog@gmail.com, and we'll probably respond to you. Then we'll also talk about reading them on the show. So anyways, that's a good episode, guys. And real quick, I know we're annoying you guys with so much stuff, but we have, as of, you know, right now this week, 5 more weeks until Unite in Boston. Woo-hoo! So again, yeah, if you want to, we're all, at least 4 of us are going. Ryan might be pushing out. I don't
please,
know.
Please, don't say, man. Don't say,
I'm in California.
Meet in a bar. Say something else.
Oh, that's better.
They don't want to.
That'll get people motivated. Let's meet in a library.
Okay. Meet in a library.
We'll go to Chipotle.
Yeah. Well, they got drinks at Chipotle. I don't care. That's my you can get margaritas there, whatever. Nice. We'll meet whatever. Or just come up and talk. Yeah. We'll go and say hi and sit next to us at the keynote. Whatever. Just if you want to do that, get in touch with us, whatever. It'll be fun. If you don't feel like that, maybe we'll catch up with you there. But we'll be there, so we hope to see you too. So anyways, good job, guys.
Word.
This is a good one.
This was a good one.
This was a good one. I like it.
I like it a lot.
I like it. It's good.
Yeah, it's good.
I like it.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good. Girl, you Bob, can I get some more cookies? I don't know where I
go. Oh, the lucky charm.
I don't know where we're doing.
All right, yeah, until next time.
I don't like it. Andrew. I don't like it.
I'm Obina.
Zach. Oh, sorry. I didn't even know we were Zach. Doing that. Everybody was talking. I'm Zach.
I'm Ryan Kilgore. Boom, I'm third now.
Moving up in the ranks.
That's how it works. His name's Zach, and his name's Eduardo, and we'll see you next time.
Keep on.
And you keep what you kill. I'm third now.
Keep what you kill.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
So I can't start saying thank you enough about the overwhelming support that we received for TDL, the debug log. And, you know, it's all thanks to you guys and the way you guys are reading. Dang it. What is going on?
Just keep going.
I can't keep
just
going.
Just keep going.
Edit it.
I'm not going to edit anything.
He's not going to edit all this. Dang it. Let me start all over.